Good morning, everyone. So good to see you all on this beautiful Palm Sunday morning. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will visit each and every one of us, that we may be filled the joy of the Lord worshiping together this morning. For those interested in visiting Israel, I have several tour options based on biblical history. The Elijah Tour offers one-way air travel to the stunning peak of Mount Carmel. It is limited to one passenger at a time and is perfectly suited for individuals with a phobia of crowd. The return journey is in a chariot of fire equipped with ample fire blankets and extinguishers. Meals consist of a single slice of bread per day, so one must eat like a bird. The Soul of Tarsus tour begins with a riding donkeys to Damascus. You need to bring dark sunglasses to pass a point that shoots a laser beam at your eyes. You may experience temporary blindness for a few days. Accommodations are in four-star dungeons. The highlight of the trip involves bailing out water while aboard the ship to the final destination in Rome, Italy. The Noah tour features a special 40-day cruise on a colossal ship without windows. It is not recommended for claustrophobics. Passengers can choose animals to sleep with, a minimum of three, but there is no extra charge for more. A caution: some passengers may behave like animals after 1 week on board. The Sarah tour offers a lot of laughs and is strongly recommended for older women suffering from depression due to empty nest syndrome. It is not recommended for women of 89 years old, as they may return with extra family members. The Simon tour includes ride on fishing boats in the Sea of Galilee. A water walking option is available, but life jackets not provided. The rooster crowing contest is the highlight of the tour, and the winner receives complimentary accommodation in a Jerusalem hotel located next to a chicken farm. The Jesus entry into Jerusalem tour occurs once a year on Palm Sunday, where you ride donkeys into the old city of David. For safety, the road is covered with plenty of palm branches. The highlight of the tour is carrying a 300-pound wooden cross via Dolorosa. A strict no cancellation policy is enforced. Any of you want to join those trips? Throughout his public ministry, Jesus traveled everywhere on foot. His entry into Jerusalem on a donkey was an unusual sight. Observing how Jesus entered, the people thought he would be their political liberator. They shouted, "Hosanna, save us, Son of David, rule over us like David, the greatest king of Israel." The crowd was completely oblivious to what would happen next. But for Jesus, it was his last trip to Jerusalem. He was literally entering his own grave. The crowd and even the disciples did not and could not grasp what lay beyond the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Just like the crowd and the disciples, we often focus on our current circumstances and fail to look beyond the pain and suffering. Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection help us break away from our narrow vision of the present and see further into the future. The Bible highlights our shared misunderstanding regarding the crucifixion when considered separately from the resurrection. Although these are two distinct events, the crucifixion cannot be fully understood without the resurrection. Together, these events are critical to Jesus' redemptive work and must be examined in conjunction. Let me explain what it means. Note that the following Old Testament prophecies encompass both the crucifixion and resurrection. God revealed his plan of salvation after Adam and Eve broke his law. God said to the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." As prophesied, Jesus, the only offspring of a woman, crushed Satan's head on the cross. While Satan could only pierce the Messiah's heel with a nail and could not kill him, this minor injury hints at the resurrection. Moses foreshadowed the coming Messiah. Moses said, "God would raise up for you a prophet like me from among you," in Deuteronomy 9:18. "From among you" indicate the Messiah's Jewish heritage. "Rise up" implies his resurrection. The consequence of violating the law of Moses was death, but Jesus established the new law of forgiveness and offered eternal life, the life of resurrection. One of the most frequently quoted prophecies of the Messiah is found in Isaiah 53, which describes the suffering servant. It says, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." It is important to know that the same chapter of Isaiah 53 also speaks of the resurrection, and it says, "After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied." Now, let's look at the New Testament. The crucifixion and resurrection are also mentioned together in the New Testament. Jesus quoted the Old Testament prophecy, stating, "This is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day." See that? The continual pattern of the crucifixion and resurrection. As found in today's gospel lesson, Jesus almost always predicted his death and resurrection simultaneously. His teaching about a grain of wheat and his rising of Lazarus from the dead revealed the profound truth of both the crucifixion and resurrection. The apostles in the early church consistently preached these two key doctrines together. So look at the whole scripture. The entire scripture affirms that the crucifixion and resurrection must be connected for an accurate understanding of Jesus' redemptive work. What does this constant combination of the crucifixion and the resurrection suggest to us? It implies that the cross and the resurrection are two predetermined realities for the Messiah and also for believers. First, let's consider the cross. Just as Jesus was destined to carry his cross every believer is also given their own cross. Now, the gospel lesson we read happened just before the Palm Sunday, and you can look it up. And right after this lesson, there's a recording of the Palm Sunday. James and John, the closest disciple to Jesus, did not fully understand Jesus' imminent death on the cross. They were more interested in seeking high political positions. They had no idea that they too had their own crosses to bear. James, soon after Jesus' ascension, became the first martyr, while John was banished to the island of Patmos, where he wrote the book of Revelation. I share this a few times with you. When I struggled with my calling, I thought I had many other options. But my perspective has now changed. If I had chosen a different path than parish ministry, God's providence would have continued to prevail in my life, ultimately guiding me to the path He originally designed for me. Any other choice I made could have led to wasted time in detours. This was precisely what happened to Jonah. He attempted to flee from God's calling, but ultimately yield to it. There is no doubt that God has given each of us crosses to bear. Carrying crosses may not be a pleasant proposition, yet it is our only choice, not merely an option. Secondly, just as the cross was inevitable, so was the resurrection. One reason we try to run from our crosses is that we mistakenly think our lives revolve solely around carrying them. As a result, we often overlook the importance of overcoming pain and suffering. Looking forward to the day of victory, and ultimately the moment when we exchange our crosses for a golden crown, the days of glory in God's kingdom, and the rapture when the believers in Christ will be called to meet Jesus in the air. The day of resurrection is certain. Darkness today means the day of light will inevitably come. Hebrews 12 says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorned his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." On Palm Sunday, Jesus looked toward the day of resurrection beyond the cheers of the crowd, his arrest, torture, and the painful death. Therefore, if any of us is in pain now, feeling crushed under the heavy weight of our crosses, we should focus on the day of resurrection. In a book called A Free Man's Worship, the British philosopher Bertrand Russell wrote, "All the labor of the ages, all the devotion, all the inspiration, all the noonday brightness of a human genius are destined to extinction in the vast death of the solar system. The whole temple of man's achievement must inevitably be buried beneath the debris of a universe in ruins." He may sound complicated to understand, but he simply means that death is the end for all humans and their achievement, whether small or great. Will Durant, the well-known American historian and philosopher, once said, "Life has become, in that total perspective, which is philosophy, a fitful pollution of human insects on the earth." I mean, think about these terminologies. Human insects, we are human insects, right? And there's more. A planetary eczema that may soon be cured. Whatever the disease we have, there, planetary, there's a universal eczema. And it ends with this, nothing is certain in it but defeat and death. The words of these philosophers resonate with those who recognize the inevitability of death, but do not believe in the inevitability of resurrection. We have the crosses to carry. That's the inevitability. We cannot deny it. We can run from it. I mean, I tried, and I learned that I couldn't, right? Jonah tried. He learned he couldn't. You can try, and you will soon learn that you cannot run from your cross. Our crosses are inevitability. So is the reward after carrying the crosses. The reality of the resurrection is also the inevitability. Do you know Thomas Edison's last word before he died on October 18th, 1931? He said, "It's beautiful over there." There is a much debate about whether Edison was an atheist, but there is some room to consider that he might have envisioned beauty in heaven. Edison emerged from a coma shortly before he passed away, and he would not have referred to the view outside his window as he looked upward and said, "It's beautiful over there." He might have seen the vision of heaven. He looked beyond. Are you in trouble today? Have faith in Jesus and look beyond. It's beautiful over there. The day is coming when we will behold the fulfillment of God's promise with our own eyes. The day of rapture is approaching when we will be taken away from this troubled world to be with Jesus. We can also experience the rapture of heart today by looking beyond the present trouble and seeing Jesus at work on our behalf. Jesus carried the cross we were destined to carry. He has given us both small and large crosses, but we are not the only one who carry them. Jesus carried them with us. We can rise above our current sufferings as they cannot be compared to the future glory that will be revealed in us. And how can we rise above our current suffering? By looking beyond, and that is the act of faith. Amen.